Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 10th chapter of St. John, the gospel text which has already been read. And you know, it seems like there's something about Peter, isn't there? In the reading that we had from the book of Acts, there's something about Peter. He seems somehow different. Different. Granted, it's a subtle change, isn't it? But change Peter has from rebuking Jesus to forsaking Jesus to denying that he's ever met the guy to this. Something about Peter. He seems different somehow. The change in Peter is subtle. Yeah, about as subtle as a freight train passing through Grand Mound. The fourth Sunday of Easter has become, in the three-year lectionary, Good Shepherd Sunday. Today, on the fourth Sunday of Easter, the gospel readings are from John 10, where Jesus talks about the Good Shepherd. Last year, Series A, we read verses 1 through 10. Next year, Series C, we'll read verses 22 through 30. This year, we read verses 11 through 18, where Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. Twice. We've already established that not all doctors, hospitals, and nursing homes are the same. You already know that my doctor in Kansas graduated first in her class from KU Medical School, and she was not the one who told me that. And somebody graduates first, then somebody has to graduate last, and there's a lot in between those two things, isn't there? Of himself, Jesus says he is the Good Shepherd. Twice. And if he were to use that word good today, he might get an argument from some Americans. Some Americans, and we get it from the Europeans, will tell you that there's really no such thing as good or bad. No such thing as good or bad. They might even explain that those terms are judgmental and vestiges of an outdated Christianity. Right and wrong are likewise terms not used in polite company, and heaven forbid you should utter the S word, sin. For example, if a woman marries another woman and they have a son who's a dog and she thinks she's a pastor, I would use words like bad, sinful, to describe those things on several levels. If I went 10 miles west and 1 mile north, I might get an argument on that. Here, retaining concepts like good and bad, we conclude that if there are some shepherds who are good, then there must be shepherds who are bad. And just what is it, according to Jesus, that makes a shepherd a bad shepherd? A bad shepherd, Jesus says, runs away at the first sign of danger. He runs away in order to save himself. He has no skin in this game. The sheep do not belong to him. I've heard that sheep aren't very smart. I get it, they're animals. But sheep are smart enough to know that their best defense is in numbers, staying together. Other animals have things like claws, bitey teeth, speed to run away, and you know, cows and horses, they can kick. But sheep, they're not even very good kickers. I don't know anybody who's ever told me they got kicked by a sheep. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd twice, and then he tells us what he means by that. What is it that makes a shepherd good? Two things. First, the good shepherd, not running away, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and he did. And the reason why he offered himself up to death on the cross was to save the sheep, his own sheep, whom he loves very much. And this he does willingly. He says, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This charge I receive from my Father, the giving of his life is the reason, he says, why the Father loves the Son. Which brings us to the second thing that makes the shepherd good. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and in case you didn't hear it the first time, I lay down my life for the sheep. The relationship between the good shepherd and the sheep, he says, is like between a father and a son. Shepherd who acts like that, that's a good shepherd. Peter was there when Jesus preached about the good shepherd. Peter, who rebuked Jesus, who forsook Jesus, who denied ever having known the guy, who was there when Jesus came through the walls and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you, and then conferred to Peter and to the apostles the charge to pronounce the holy absolution, or not. Quick review of holy absolution. You can go ahead and pronounce absolution if you like to repentant sinners anytime you want. What I mean is that if somebody says to you, I'm sorry, go ahead and say, I forgive you. Go ahead and do that. And if somebody wants to go with the more general, most merciful God, I confess that I am by nature sinful and unclean, go ahead and say to that person, you are forgiven. That's okay. That would be a good thing. Unlike, though, with every other Christian, for Peter and the apostles to pronounce holy absolution was not optional. It was, in fact, a very integral part of their job description, given specifically to them and to those who follow after them in the apostolic office. If you make the effort to get here on Sunday morning, this is what that means. If you make the effort to get here on the Sunday morning, you can be assured that holy absolution will be waiting for you here, and we do it early on. After Jesus commanded the apostles to absolve sin, or not, in the case of unrepentant sinners, we saw that 2 weeks ago, and last week we note that Jesus was able to open up the minds of these men by means of preaching the word. That's how that happened. And their contribution to the opening of their minds, including Peter, their contribution was to stop talking and start listening. And on that note, speaking as a person who holds a bachelor's degree in education, and I taught full-time for 10 years, and I've been doing a lot of teaching otherwise in those not 10 years, I can tell you, you can learn a lot by listening. You can learn a lot by listening. Goats. Goats, they'll eat just about anything and everything you put in front of them, and they're apparently able to process all that. Sheep are actually pretty picky eaters. They have, as you know, several stomachs. And if you put several kinds of food in front of them, they will choose the food that's best for them. And the shepherd's role is putting good food, not bad food, in front of the sheep, taking them to good pasture, and a stream might be nice too. The bad shepherd won't bother. The bad shepherd won't bother. He'll change the diet of the sheep too quickly, which causes problems. They can overfeed on grain, which causes problems. And he can feed them silage that can cause them problems. And sheep will eat the horse treats, but it will cause them problems. Bad shepherd, sheep don't belong to him, and it all pays the same. So we find the 12 in that room a week after the resurrection. And sometime after that, of course, they left that room and made their way up to Galilee. The first conversation between Jesus and Peter, after Peter had denied ever knowing the guy, is recorded by John, and it does not flatter Peter, but it does reveal a person whose mind has been opened. When they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Joseph Jonas, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Those are imperatives, commands. So we see the Good Shepherd, who had given to Peter and the rest the responsibility to pronounce holy absolution or not. The Good Shepherd, who, by the way, is leaving, hands the sheep over to the care of the one told to care for the sheep and for the little sheep, the lambs. So it is that Peter, after the resurrection, before the ascension, becomes a shepherd. That's what you call somebody who feeds the sheep. And as it turns out, Peter, like Jesus, he was a good shepherd. He was a good shepherd. Shortly after that, 40 days after Easter, Jesus did leave. He ascended into heaven, but not before commanding those same apostles to go, teach, baptize, that's how you shepherd, and promising that he would be with them always. And then Pentecost and the Holy Spirit's filling, the preaching, the conversions, and now shortly after that, chapter 4 of Acts, pushback. Pushback. In the form of the priests and the theological liberals who were greatly annoyed at the preaching of Peter and John. They came to them and they brought the cops with them. They brought the cops with them. The Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, does not have a law enforcement arm, and there are no cops working for Emmanuel Grand Mound. But this is now, that was then, and the greatly annoyed religious leaders came with the cops. That means they're going to take you away. Why? Why were they coming to take them away? Because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. That sounds like a good reason to arrest somebody and throw them in the jail. But there's something about Peter. Now, he seems somehow different. Granted, it's a subtle change, isn't it? But change Peter has from rebuking Jesus to forsaking Jesus to denying that he's ever met the guy to this. Something about Peter. He seems different somehow. And the change in Peter is about as subtle as a brick through the window. They arrested Peter and John and held them in jail overnight. But on the other hand, many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. And the next day they brought out the big guns, but Peter and John stood in the middle and they were asked, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" And there's something about Peter that's different. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be made known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him is this man standing before you." Peter the shepherd now, neither rebuking, nor forsaking, nor denying, but instead feeding the sheep and their children as Jesus himself had commanded him, now speaking, feeding them by the means of the word, by the law, preaching the law, whom you crucified, that's the law. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, that's the law. Harsh, unbending, personal, maybe make you squirm a little bit. Now speaking, feeding the sheep and their children by means of the word, the gospel. God raised him from the dead, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven among men by which we may be saved, the gospel, the sweet music of the resurrection, salvation in the resurrected Christ. A little bit different with Peter. And they keep telling him to stop it, and he keeps saying no, and they tell him, well, we're going to have to kill you, and people, Peter says, have at it. Different. Different. And then there's a shepherd who just kind of doesn't do anything. Doesn't do anything. My high school gym teacher, he was the varsity basketball coach, Rock Island High School. He came to class every day and rolled a couple basketballs out on the floor and says, have at it. Have at it. And we did. He really didn't do anything. That's where I learned to play basketball. You heard the kind of basketball, no blood, no foul. What that means is that if you call a foul, the new guy calls a foul, everybody else looks at him and says, no blood, no foul, and you keep on playing. That's the bad shepherd. He's a shepherd in name only, really doesn't do much shepherding. That might be work, might even be hard work. And it all pays the same. No boundaries, no fences. Do what you will, where you will. And he was very popular, very popular. Then there's Jesus, the good shepherd, Peter, the good shepherd, the 12 doing what they were called to do. Peter was there when Jesus called himself the good shepherd, and the shepherd imagery was not lost on Peter. And when Jesus made him also into a shepherd, and he continues that imagery, Peter does, sheep and shepherd, over into his inspired writings at 1 and 2 Peter, 1 Peter 2:25. Peter the shepherd proclaims the gospel to his readers that Jesus died on the cross to take away your sins, quote, by his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And about whom was Peter talking when he talks about the shepherd and guardian of your souls? Later on in chapter 5, verse 1 and following, speaking to pastors, it means shepherd. He exhorts pastors to tend the flock of God that is in your charge, not by constraint, but willingly, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not as domineering over those in your own charge, but being examples to the flock. And he further clarifies, the inspired writers do, the meaning of a good shepherd. As time went on, further clarification by inspired writers about the meaning of a good shepherd, mostly from Paul, mostly in the three pastoral epistles, Titus, 1 and 2 Timothy. Have one wife, Paul says. Want to be a good shepherd? Have one wife. It means don't be divorced. Stick with your first wife. Be a good teacher. Be a good preacher. A good pastor, Paul says, should not love money, should not be violent or belligerent, and so on for three books. Oh, and this, preach the word. Preach the word. Be constant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. It means teaching. And as we read through Jesus and the pastoral epistles, that's the commonality, the basic for being a good shepherd. Preach the word and make sure it's the true word. Don't want to be preaching falsehood to people. Yeah, not all doctors are the same. Not all hospitals are the same. Not all nursing homes are the same. And not all shepherds are the same. Peter was a good shepherd. He knew his flock, and his flock knew him, and he who had rebuked, forsaken, and denied his Lord, who was commanded to feed the sheep and their children, in fact, did also give up his life for the sheep. And the largest church in the world marks the spot. I saw Rick Steves there the other day. He and I have the same reaction to that church. That's a big church. That's a big church you walk into. That's a big church. Not all shepherds are the same. Some shepherds are not very good at it. Some are better at it. And we have the good shepherd who leads the sheep to the pasture, where the hungry can be fed on the good food, where the thirsty can drink of the pure water, following Jesus, the good shepherd, into his death and then into his life everlasting. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.